All right, if you take your Bibles, turn to the book of Zechariah. We're going to get right into a short message tonight from the book of Zechariah. I want to keep trudging ahead in this book. We took several weeks off and got to keep going because we've got to finish it eventually. And I don't want to take another week off from this. So we're going to be in Zechariah chapter 5, verses 5 through 11 is what we'll look at tonight together. And the thing about going through these is, in large part, we are just familiarizing ourselves, or we are beginning to familiarize ourselves with some passages that we may not know very well. All right, and there's value in that in itself, to get more familiar with the Bible by taking a concentrated time to look at specific passages. I don't think for an instance, as we look at this tonight, that I'm going to be drawing out probably nearly what I ought to from this. But this will just begin us to be familiar with it, and then down the road, it may be years down the road, we'll begin to connect the dots more, even with what we're learning about in the book of Zechariah right now. So it's a work in progress. Our knowledge of the Bible is, our relationship with God is, in all of those manners. Zechariah chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. This is how the word of God reads from this passage. It says in verse 5, "Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, 'Lift your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth.' So I asked, 'What is it?' And he said, 'It is a basket that is going forth.' He also said, 'This is their resemblance throughout the earth. Here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket.' Then he said, 'This is wickedness.' And he thrust her down into the basket and threw the lead cover over its mouth. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. So I said to the angel who talked with me, 'Where are they carrying the basket?' And he said to me, 'To build a house for it in the land of Shinar. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base.'" May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Father, I pray that you'd please allow me to communicate your word tonight. Help us to see the truth that's found here. And God, I pray you'd use this passage of Scripture to do your work in us, to complete us and make us more like Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to share with you a message that I've entitled, "This is Wickedness, the Vision of the Basket Going Forth." It could also be called the vision of the woman in the basket. Point number one is this: the basket and the world of resemblance. Now, your translation might say in the land, but as we look here at verse 6, there are handouts back there if anybody needs one. Did y'all get them? My bad, guys. Hey, guys, they're actually in the drawer. They're in the drawer. Well, you see who really uses the handouts. That's in large part who I do the handouts for, is for the kids to be able to follow along, be interactive there a little bit with them. Sorry about that. When I put those in there, I thought this may not go well. And I was right, it didn't. Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks, Satan. I'm glad y'all jumped up and started to go and get those. That's what you should do. All right, let's start over. I'd like to present you all with a message tonight. It's called "This Is Wickedness: The Vision of the Basket Going Forth." It could also be called "The Woman in the Basket." And it's from Zechariah chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. The first point from this passage is the basket and the world of resemblance. Now, in your translation, if you have a New American Standard, the word basket may actually be translated ephah in your translation. So he's seeing this ephah, this basket that is holds an ephah, which was almost 6 gallons by our measurements today. And he sees this basket, and as it is explained to him by the angel who talks with him, it is going forth. We're going to see in a moment that it was apparently on the earth, and as it was on the earth, it was going forth. And he says at the end of verse 6, this is their resemblance throughout the earth. All right, so that's why I've entitled this, and yours might say, in the land. That's why some would view this and determine that what he's talking about here, as well as the previous vision, is that this iniquity, this wickedness, prior to that, the swearing falsely and the stealing was happening just in the land. The word could also be translated earth, which is why the New King James Version translates it earth. So it is either a localized thing or it is a widespread international thing, but either way, it is spread abroad. So the basket and the world of resemblance. But we don't really know what it's resembling. What about it? That brings us to point number 2, where in verses 7 through 8, we see the basket and the woman that is wickedness. And again, in verse 7, you see there that it says, here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket. So you got this basket weaved together, no doubt, as baskets are, and now you have a lead disc on top of it. So there's this heavy lead disc, and then as he lifts up the lead disc, he sees inside of it a woman sitting. Now, in verse 8, again, he says, then he said, this is wickedness. So apparently, as he sees the woman in the basket, he's referring here to the woman being wickedness. And he thrust her down into the basket. We're drawing here the picture of this woman as he lifts the lid. She's sitting, but now by this time, she apparently is moving and trying to get out. But he thrust her down into the basket. And then you notice in verse 8 at the end of it, and threw the lead cover over its mouth. So the leaden cover is placed there in order to keep the woman or this wickedness in the basket. Point number 3. Here we see the basket and the winged women. The basket and the winged women. In verse 9, as Zechariah is seeing this vision unfold and having it explained to him to some degree, the Bible says, then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings. There's a song that comes to mind when I hear that. Coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. When you think about when I think about a stork, I think about the cartoons where the stork is delivering the baby. You know, you might think that same thing. The thing about storks is we learn in the Old Testament law that they were unclean animals. They were considered unclean animals. Leviticus 11:19. Deuteronomy 14:18 both indicate this from the law. And that's something when you're interpreting prophecy like this or a vision, you would ask the question, does that mean anything? What is that to mean? What does that they were had wings like a stork and that storks were unclean animals? What does that mean here in this passage of Scripture? Does this mean that these women, and it's very unusual, he doesn't see angels flying to do this, but he sees, as it says, just two women with wind in their wings, wings like a stork, And then they take this basket, they lift it up between earth and heaven. Some would draw the conclusion from this that these women that are seen here perhaps are demonic or representative of being unclean or evil because they have wings like a stork. Now, I'm not going to tell you because I don't know. I mean, there's just not enough in the passage for me to draw any conclusion on that. But when you're seeking to interpret Scripture, those are the things you have to wrestle with. I don't know that it's important enough for us to deal with it that much. And now let's look at point number four. Here, the basket and where it will reside. We've seen so far the basket and the world of resemblance. We don't know what it resembled until we go to the next passage, this wickedness. So apparently, this world of resemblance, or this resemblance in the land, there is wickedness throughout the world or throughout the land. You see the basket and the winged women, and then lastly, the basket and where it will reside. And we learn of where it will reside in verse 10 and 11. So I said to the angel who talked with me, "Where are they carrying the basket?" And he said to me, "To build a house for it in the land of Shinar. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base." Now, you might want to write down these cross references for Shinar, because it comes from Genesis 10, verse 10. And there the Bible says, "And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar." And this is talking about Nimrod, who was the mighty hunter before the Lord. And then you go to Genesis chapter 11, where the Tower of Babel was being built. And it says in verses 1 and 2, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." All right, so we go way back to Genesis 11, Genesis 10. Shinar is a key location. It is the place where the Tower of Babel began to be built. It is where we see the seeds of Babylon beginning in the Bible. All right, now, verse 11, "And he said, 'To build a house for it,'" your Bible might say, "a temple for it in the land of Shinar. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base." All right, we've kind of worked through the vision, giving you a little outline of that. Now let's see if we can figure out if there's any meaning. What does it matter? What difference does it make? Here's the first thing I think that we can responsibly glean from this passage is this: wickedness is consistent. Wickedness is consistent. What that means is, whether your translation says the land or your translation says the whole earth, the idea there is that this wickedness is prevailing and it affects everything. So wickedness is consistent. Number two, we see wickedness is controlled. You see, the lead disc is on the basket, holding the woman in this case in. You might say, "Well, why? Why are they picking on women?" And in the Bible, it happens quite a lot. But you see, for instance, in Proverbs chapter 7, the adulterous woman. But then in Proverbs chapter 8, you see woman wisdom. All right, so it's not all bad. But there are times when women are used as a symbol of that which is wicked, that which is wrong. And we see that even coming up at the end of the Bible. So wickedness is controlled. And we know that God ultimately controls and sovereign over the things of this earth. And who is it who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? And so we know that our God is in control. And then number three, wickedness is continuing. It's continuing. These two winged women take this basket and take it forth to Shinar. The thing that comes to my mind as I just think about the Bible, and Zechariah could have never connected these dots because he didn't have the dot to connect. But if you go in your Bible, and we're not going to go there, but you go to Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 18. Here you have Babylon the Great, that great harlot, the Bible calls her. And it is ultimately judged there at the end in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Perhaps it is representative of this whole ungodly world system in which we currently find ourselves. All these things that are opposed to God and anti-Christ will ultimately be destroyed one day, and it is wickedness. So it is continuing, but it is wickedness is coming to an end. For we know that Christ will return, and he will judge this world in righteousness. God, through Christ, will judge this world in righteousness by the man Jesus Christ. And he proved that he is going to do this by raising him from the dead. I'll close with this passage from Matthew chapter 13, where here in the parable of the tares that is explained, the Bible says in verse 41 of Matthew 13, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." In the verse 43, it says, "Then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Zechariah was living in a day where the people had come back to Jerusalem. They were seeking to rebuild the temple. They had been on a 16-year hiatus from building that temple. And then Zechariah, and what was the name of the other prophet who was raised up to help? To encourage the people to finish the work? Haggai. So you got Haggai and Zechariah both raised up. And Zechariah here receiving these visions that to us are very extraordinary and very unusual. But for him, in the place where he had been greatly affected by wickedness from his own people and from that land from which he had come, here he is reminded that wickedness, it is consistent, it is controlled, it is continuing, and because it is controlled, it is ultimately going to come to an end one day as the Lord Jesus Christ will conquer. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It is good to learn your word. And I pray, God, that as wickedness is indeed in this world now, and it will continue to be here, Lord, I pray that it would not be within us. I pray, Father, because we've been born again, for all those who are in Christ, they have, Lord, that we would not make a practice of sinning or of wickedness, of lawlessness, but God, that we would live righteously in submission to you and to your word. God, I pray tonight for anybody who's not in Christ. They have yet not believed in this death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to save them. God, I pray that you'd please work in them. Help them to see their own personal wickedness and their need to turn to Jesus for salvation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.